And I commented, and I think John and I both did, that you have a lot of Jewish deli standards on this menu. You got matzo ball soup, you had gribnitz, you had chicken, you had pastrami, you had a lot of things that suggested a Jewish deli. And we asked you at that point, gosh, are you ever going to do a Jewish deli? And you said,
hell no.
Actually, you said, we've been thinking about this for a long time, and who knows, it might happen. And here?
Well, the Jewish influence, I mean, where that came from the bird was really, the focus of the bird was barbecue. But that's a word I would never use because barbecue people are
fanatical.
Crazy, just crazy. But we wanted to work with fire and smoke, and pastrami, I think, is one of the best barbecues out there, Jewish barbecue. And so working with that pastrami on just, you know, a couple of dishes, we just fell in love with that process and those flavors.
Because you have pastrami on the menu at Bird and Bottle.
Yeah, we make tacos out of
them. Right.
With fried cheese curds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, so, that's really ecumenical. That sort of covers the waterfront, doesn't it?
You know what? If I knew what that word meant, John, I'd probably agree.
Well, it covers the waterfront.
Oh, thank you. So break it down. I'm a cook.
The name of the new restaurant is?
Grossman's Nasheri and Bar.
Grossman's Nasheri and Bar.
And who was Grossman?
Well, I grew up Terry Gross as my maiden name. Gross.
No, you were not that Terry Gross.
Yeah, you know, we look a little different. But yes, Terry Gross is my maiden name. And way back when, my family was the Grossmans.
Oh.
And they dropped the M-A-N for a lot of different reasons. Yeah. And so we decided to bring it back just because it sounds really good.
It does. It sounds authentic.
It does.
Where is the restaurant?
It's in the Hotel La Rose, right down in Railroad Square.
And that had been empty, I think, for about 5 years.
I think 5 or 6. Yeah, it's been a good amount of time.
Chef Joseph was there for a long time.
Yeah, he had a nice long run.
Yeah, and then it laid vacant, and now you guys came in. And
you and I were talking about, there have been over the years, I mean, we've been around for a long time, there have been 2 or 3 or maybe 4 attempts at delis, and they were okay, but they were not situated well. I think they were situated in the sense of their location. They were difficult to get to, or people couldn't find them.
Well, if we go back 25 years or so, Steve Rose, who had the fabulous restaurant in Kenwood, started the deli, the Jewish deli, but it was out in the Kenwood area, way out in farmland area, and he did a really great job, but there just wasn't the clientele 25 years ago to support a Jewish top deli in that part of the county.
Sure.
It didn't last a long time. And then Les Goodman, who we know and love, a wonderful chef, did a series of pop-ups in the Railroad Square West End area. I know worked with you guys. I know that you loaned him some butane burners to cook some of his food there. I know you guys were very...
I think to do his sugar fries or whatever.
Yeah, it was a fryer.
The fries with the pastrami on top.
Yeah. His sugar fries.
Yeah.
And Les was wonderful. But again, the infrastructure and what it takes to run a delicatessen and cure your own meats was way more than one person could do. So he closed that shop. Mm-hmm. And then there's really been a dearth of this style of food that has such an illustrious history until you guys
I guess the only one you think about, and I don't think about it as being a true, they would, of course, argue with me, is Max Deli. Down on 4th Street, which has been there forever and ever.
And they do a great job.
Yeah.
I consider them more of a...
sandwich shop?
Kind of a diner.
Diner, yeah.
But if you think about what happens at a deli, they're certainly a deli. Mm-hmm. The same people working all the time, family-owned, same people dining there, at the same time of day, every day. I mean, that's also part of the sex appeal of a deli, you know?
So both of you will be there every day?
at the beginning, at least.
Well, this is your first restaurant where you're going to be open for breakfast.
I know.
Yes,
we're open 7 a.m.,
so
7 days a week.
So what's the research that you've done? I know you've traveled around and gone. You were mentioning a place in Portland that you like a lot. So who have been the influencers for you?
Well, the process for us, much like Brava's, is there's a lot of reading that goes into it. And it's not reading recipes. It's reading why a community cooks the way they do and where did the food come from. Unless you know its origin and what its purpose was meant to be, then it's hard to take it in the proper direction. So we do a lot of reading, and then we start going out, we start branching out to places that we hear about that we think we'd like to emulate. Mm-hmm. So about a year ago, we spent some time in Brooklyn, Manhattan. It was awesome. But I got to tell you, 4 and 5 delis a day, you want to talk about work? it's not fun.
You had kind of rounded cheeks then, I think. Kind of filled up there.
Do you know there's a deli in Brooklyn that's since closed? I think he had the greatest name for a Jewish delicatessen I've ever heard. It was called Shanghai. Isn't that a wonderful name?
Yes.
That's a great name.
I thought that was a great name. So where did you dine in the New York area?
Well, we concentrated in Brooklyn and... Well, actually, that's not true. Over in Manhattan, Russ and Daughters was probably our favorite. But, we had to go to Katz's, of course.
Katz's, for sure.
And Franklin's. And
there's a very small place in Brooklyn. It's called Miles End. Mile End. And it's a hole in the wall. Mm. But it was probably our favorite smoked meat experience. And the chef owner is from Montreal. So that's kind of the way, the direction our pastrami went in, Montreal style, which is just a little more in your face, smokier. The final cook is not a steam or a simmer. It's a slow cook in an alto sham. So all the spices remain. So when you're eating our pastrami, there's no doubt that you're eating pastrami.
So for people that don't know the process of making authentic pastrami, you first have to brine the meat.
It's a three week process. So we do 2 weeks
in the brine.
In the brine,
and then you season.
And then we rub it with our pastrami spices. We let it dry overnight, and then it's about a 6 hour smoke and cook.
And so you're smoking over across the street at your other restaurant, Stark's.
Yes, we have a huge smoker out there, real hardwood.
Oh.
And
it's at low temperature, isn't it?
It's at low temperature.
Yeah.
And then from there, we every day it'll be reheated very slowly, almost like sous vide style, so it stays nice and moist, and it will be served hot.
The reheating is done in the alto sham, is
yes,
that correct?
Correct.
And describe what an alto sham is for listeners.
It's a slow cooker that you can program to run at super low temperatures for as long as you want, and it maintains moisture in the oven itself. So,
Are you going to hand slice or put this in a slicer?
Hand slice.
But that's the art.
And it's a cross between pastrami and southern brisket. Barbecue.
So St. Patrick's Day is coming. I know that doesn't have anything to do with the Jewish delicatessen, but corned beef.
We have plenty of corned beef.
Yeah.
So the pastrami starts out as corned beef. So both of those will be made in-house.
Marvelous. So you're doing it old style, the real way. There's no shortcuts in making this pastrami. There is if you're ConAgra.
No shortcuts.
Who bought Hebrew National, and they have these ones that are slicers that are made for fast food delis. You put them in the slicer, and but it doesn't taste like pastrami. Mm-hmm.
No.
All right. So from Brooklyn, you got your real education about smoked meats there. Did you visit some bakeries there too, or no?
Every morning.
Oh.
Every afternoon.
Okay. So that education in Brooklyn area.
We ate everything all day, all day, every day. Okay.
So you brought some of these are some of your initial bagels, is that correct?
Yeah, so David Zimmerman, he's my right-hand man. I know he's out there listening. I raised him from a pup. and he has really embraced the whole baking program. Uh-huh. We built a bakery in Grossman's just so we could do all our bagels, all our rye, pumpernickel, pastries, arugula, babkas.
I was going to say.
Oh, babkas, for sure.
So I took photos yesterday. Yeah. I came over, and I just was so enamored with the whole process of the bakery. I took some photos of this big round thing that looks like R2-D2.
Yes, that's the rounder.
The rounder, which makes the bagels round. And then this is the conveyor
Steve,
belt.
I don't mean to – I just want to make – they're handmade. So the rounder, what the rounder does, you put a big chunk of dough in there. It portions it, and then it rounds it into balls. And then we put it through that
conveyor belt here, the next photo picture.
And that makes it a long strand.
All right.
And then that's where we take over with our hands, actually forming them into the bagels.
And now, is this the proofer, the next photo that
that's
I have?
That's the proofer.
So, okay. So in the making of bagels, it's important to make real bagels. They have to be boiled.
Boiled.
Don't is this the
before,
boiler?
Before they're baked.
That is the boiler.
So
yes.
There's the boiler.
That's and why is that?
It's a different texture. Uh-huh. They're chewier, they're a little denser, and what it also does is it gives this surface layer, so when you bake them, they get these little crunchy little blisters on the outside, which that didn't happen in these today. That's why I brought them, just to show you.
So that's why there's seeds all over them.
You know, you can hide stuff.
So we've got the process. Well, think how many steps there are and how much equipment it takes. So we got them boiled. And then this next one, is this the oven itself?
That is the
Look
oven.
At this unusual oven.
Where you just roll the whole rack in.
Yeah. Actually, those are great ovens because you can do so many different things in them and a lot.
And this
volume.
Yeah.
This bakery equipment, we work through the Giusto Group. Mm-hmm. With who they use in their bread making process, the company TMB, and they held our hand through the whole process, and they set us up for success. That's for sure.
So besides the bagels, you're doing rye bread also.
Rye bread,
other loaves of bread.
Challah. I can't say it like you.
Well, you have some phlegm in your throat. Okay. You need phlegm.
That's not a good thing right now. Okay, just saying.
So we got the challah and we got
phlegm
the
is out right Phlegm's now. Out.
But here's an exciting thing for folks that are not experienced with bialys. You can't get a bialy anywhere in Sonoma County.
Yes.
But now you can.
And it's funny because growing up back east, you just see them all the time. And I would always get a bialy instead of a bagel.
So describe it.
I'm a pizza guy. It looks like a little mini pizza. Uh-huh. You can use a different dough or you can use bagel dough. And the middle of it is punched down a little bit and filled with diced onions and poppy seeds. Mm. And they get kind of a little soft and a little bit of caramelization. And it's delicious.
And put an egg on that, and holy cow. Okay.
Put an egg on anything.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I know that listeners want to talk to you and share their enthusiasm, so we'll be able to take a few calls. Laura, welcome to the Good Food Hour live at KSRO. You're on with Mark and Terry Stark and Chef John Ash.
Hi, guys. Hey, so I thought I wanted bagels, but now I want a bialy, I guess. So I just wanted to say that I'm already starving myself so that I can eat a whole bunch of that stuff.
Well, is it Laura?
Yes.
Laura, yes.
Okay, so I'm a professional eater, and you're going about it all wrong. What you need to do is stretch the stomach. Keep it loose and large. So you can actually, you don't get full as fast. So just take it from me.
Take it from the master, Laura. Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of disgusting.
I know. You should have seen the hand gesture he had going.
But I'm wondering, so are you going to have some kind of a walk-up takeout if we want to just grab and grow? Grab
is right.
I'm sorry to put that in your head. Yes, I think that's might be... the success of Grossman's, that it's a little bit of both. It's a dine-in restaurant with a full bar, and it's also a takeout. So you have these options of just, you know, coming in the morning and going back to the deli section, ordering a bagel with a schmear and some coffee, and then walking across the street to the train and going to work. Or you're not working, you can come in and join us for some dumplings and some vodka.
So talk about this dumplings and vodka.
And Laura, does that answer your question?
It does. Thanks very much.
Okay, you're thanks welcome. For joining us. Bye-bye.
So vodka with the dumplings, what's that all about? And you said that the vodka's frozen or something?
just really cold.
The dumplings started, actually, a very good friend of ours.
It's right on the tip of your tongue.
That's it was
our,
a good
our friend. Our daughter.
No, our dumpling guy.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris Wisner. So he's a good Jew. Chris, I'm sorry. Sorry. Anyway, he fell in love with these pelmenis. You know what a pelmeni is? It's like a Russian dumpling. Mm-hmm. It's very simple to make, and it's almost like a little ravioli, that you boil and you finish with butter, sour cream, a little bit of vinegar, maybe some fresh chopped dill. Mm. And he would come over and make them at our house, and I fell in love with them. And this is about 3 years ago, and I said, that's going to go on somebody's menu one of these days. Yeah. And so we just did some research and came up with three dumplings that we liked, and we have this section. And then we went to a restaurant in Portland called Kachka.
Kachka.
And it's a Russian restaurant. And when you walk in, you know it's Russian. You know, big guys with dark hair and square faces.
You big know? Square jaws.
And kind of lumps under their coat. And
yeah, you don't catch their eye. And they have a great vodka program where you sit there and you eat these dumplings. And they have flavored vodkas that they keep frozen, so they're super cold. And you just take shots and eat dumplings, and life couldn't be any better.
It seems very civilized until it goes in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
Well, I think my daughter and I, we took it a little too far, but whatever.
So we've taken our virtual tour of your bakery, and then on my way around the corner, I snapped a photo of these two big plastic jugs, and it says fermentors. What's in those?
What are you fermenting? Pickles?
Those are pickles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so full sour pickles.
All right. No half dills, no sweet butter, bread and butter pickles, no. And are you going to bring a little platter? How are you going to do your pickle service?
We'll have several different pickles, radishes, onions.
You can do pickled tomatoes?
Green tomatoes. And that's actually a dish on the menu. So you get a pickle plate.
So talk about the platters. What's a sabich?
Well, it's a sabik.
Okay, there you go.
And
you can tell I'm not Jewish.
It is a traditional Israeli breakfast sandwich. And there's basically three ingredients that are supposed to be in it. It's fried eggplant, a hard-boiled egg, and a pita.
Mm. Wow.
And
sounds good.
You obviously can take it many different directions. So it's this great pickled cabbage, soft-boiled egg, fried eggplant slices, tahina sauce, red shug, which is their hot sauce. And it's this great sandwich that you can walk away with. It's vegetarian for the most part.
You know what's interesting?
But you can also make it – I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You can make it into a big platter. So the platter will be all this. We have three platters. One is all smoked meats. Mm-hmm. One is all smoked and pickled fish. And then if you're a vegetarian and you want to enjoy that, this is the egg. This is the one to have, the sabik.
So what about smoked salmon? You're doing that?
We're doing smoked salmon.
Uh-huh.
So we're doing a traditional lox style.
Uh-huh.
We're doing pastrami smoked salmon.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We're doing kippered. Salmon, which is the Northwest hard hard smoked salmon. We're doing smoked whitefish, whole smoked whitefish, pickled herring, and so far I think that fills our plate.
It's enough.
That's a lot.
Yeah, you're covering the waterfront. We'll get back. We can take a few more calls. Some people are on hold and would like a word with you and wish you, of course, wonderful success. We'll do a little tasting, and we're going to really jump into the menu, the second part of the show, with Mark and Terry Stark. Their new restaurant is opening in about a couple of weeks or so. Is that about right, Terry?
We're shooting for March 19th.
Okay. And we'll start with breakfast because I notice you get top billing in there. It says Terry's Griddled Pastrami. We'll find out about that. Chef John Ash and Steve Garner in the KS Arto Kitchen. A first look at the Grossman's Noshery and Bar.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week, year-round.
Saturday mornings, 8:30 to 1, continue the tradition at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market at the Veterans Building across from the fairgrounds. The Wednesday market has moved to Farmers Lane Plaza in Santa Rosa, 9 a.m. to 1. Build up your immune system. Get vitamin C and more from Caracara and blood oranges, pomelos, mandarins, and grapefruits. Soothe a cold with local honey from Bee Haven Honey and teas from Tea and Trumpets. Steaks from Betha Springs Ranch, Silver Sky, or Bud's Meats. Prefer seafood? See Santa Rosa Seafood. Get broccoli, winter greens, green onions, and
more at Triple T's booth. Tole Valley Farm has Brussels sprouts. Olson Farm from Pengrove is back with lots of kale, greens, and onions. Toscano Family Farm has the first fava beans of the year plus baby carrots. The Greek Table has assorted hummus plus Greek olives and pita chips. Mama Mills is back with gluten-free pastries and bread. Revolution Bread has locally baked granola, chocolate cookies, and Pop-Tarts.
Check out communityfarmersmarkets.com.
Montgomery Village is turning 70. Here's chapter one in the history of Montgomery Village. KSRO News Director Pat Kerrigan.
The only way to tell the story of Montgomery Village begins with its founder, Hugh Cotting. Hugh served in World War II in the Seabees, who'd first go into hostile land and build the needed infrastructure. Marine barracks, runways, roads. Hugh understood construction. He helped build hospitals on Guam. Hugh told the story of he and a GI friend on Guam when two Japanese snipers shot at them. Hugh's quick action saved his friend's life. He was learning the craft of construction in the most dangerous of conditions. In 1945, he used a 30-day leave to come home and used his skills to build a house on Southeast Street. Well, the war ended just before he was to report back. Hugh Cotting started the post-war building boom in Sonoma County, specifically on the east side of the city of Santa Rosa. And his desire to create didn't stop at small house construction. Chapter 2 in the history of Montgomery Village, coming soon. This is Pat Kerrigan.
Is someone you love living with memory loss due to dementia? This message is for you.
With email automation from Constant Contact.
Someone stole a kishka, someone stole a kishka, someone stole a kishka from the butcher shop.
Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Someone call the cop.
Round and firm and fully packed, it was standing on the rack. Someone stole a kishka when I turned my back.
Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Won't you bring it back?
Electric car charging stations, your dog running freely in an off-leash pet park, all within minutes of golf, tennis, and hiking trails in the heart of Fountain Grove. Don't imagine it, live it at Canyon Oaks Apartments in Santa Rosa. Stop imagining and start enjoying luxury living and everyday comforts in your Canyon Oaks home. Visit today on Thomas Lake Harris Drive in Santa Rosa or online at livecanyonoaks.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Someone stole a kishka, someone stole a kishka from the butcher shop.
Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Someone call the cop.
Round and firm and fully packed, it was standing on the rack. Someone stole a kishka when I turned my back.
Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Who stole a kishka? Won't you bring it back?
Well, if you couldn't tell, it's the Deli Show with Chef John Ash and Steve Garner. We're in the KSRO kitchen celebrating 34 years, and it's taken that long for us to finally have the arrival of some authentic Grossman's Nostry and Bar that's opening in Old Railroad Square at the lovely Hotel Arose in a couple of weeks. Mark and Terry Stark, owners and chef, are with us to give us a first look at the menu.
So we just gave Gwen, who... she never hangs around, but she hangs around for bagel days and things like that. Gave you a bite of the of your first bagel. These are the very first bagels. And you pointed out, which I think is very cool, We got an everything bagel, and it isn't just with the everything on the top, it's the everything on the bottom, so that when you cut the darn thing in half, both persons, if you're splitting it with somebody, get...
Yeah, who wants the bottom with nothing on it?
Yeah, for sure. So what do you think?
New Yorker. What do you think, New Yorker?
If you close your eyes and you ate that and someone gave me that bagel, I would think that they brought it from New York. That's very good.
Whoa.
That's amazing. Yeah,
and
thank
I want to
you.
Tell you something.
I'm a little misty.
No, yeah. You know, Gwen is the toughest critic we ever have hang out. Mm-hmm. She will say, nah, this is no good. This is not authentic. Mm-hmm. She won't say it on the air, but she'll tell me. Mm-hmm. So for her to go on air and say your bagel makes the grade.
That's a New York bagel.
Way to go. David, you're still on the payroll.
Thank you.
Can I just point out one thing, though,
yeah.
to the listeners and potential customers? At Grossman's, we will not be playing that music. We'll probably be playing some soft Curtis Mayfield and some Sugar Yoda. So just rest assured.
So we serve this with a little bit of Philadelphia cream cheese.
Yes.
I mean, with all of the artisan cream cheeses there are in the world, why Philly?
Because it's the best.
Okay, simple as that. Hey, when you were in L.A., did you go down to L.A. and taste any deli?
We did not make it to L.A.
We ordered from L.A.
The best deli
from Langer's.
The best deli name. Langer's is known. That and Brent's are really good. But the best deli name in America right now is a delicatessen in Los Angeles. It's called Genghis Cohen.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I thought it's pretty good. Well, let's look at the menu. What do you say? The noshes. We have latkes. We have... we have crispy whole artichoke. So it's interesting when looking at the menu, you definitely have a nod to Mediterranean Jewish cooking, like this is an Italian dish, and also Israeli. There's a lot of very strong Israeli-influenced salads, I think because of the predominance of Chef Ottolenghi, who's kind of put Israeli cuisine on the world map.
And Michael Solomonov, out of Philly, is just a leader of the pack.
Isn't that intentional to add that kind of Israeli style of
I mean,
the vegetables are just so great,
yeah,
too.
It's just to be able to feature all the stuff that's great about Sonoma County, the Israeli cuisine really lends itself towards that.
And then we have beet caviar, hummus of the day. Knish, of course, and you got to do...
Our knish is actually going to taste good. As a non-Jew, eating everywhere at these delis, there's a couple of items I questioned. Knish was one of them. I understand where it came from. It's a poor man's food. You could take this thing, you could put it in your pocket and head off to work and eat that. It'll fill you up for a buck something.
Yeah. But this is going to be good.
Back then,
so
probably 10 cents.
Our task was to, okay, how do we actually make it appealing?
And so how did you
well,
make it appealing?
Well, we used Yukon Gold potatoes, and we smashed them with caramelized onions, extra virgin olive oil, a little soy sauce, and farmer's cheese.
Oh, like a cottage cheese?
From out on the coast. I'm blanking on, but local farmer's cheese. Mm. So... And then we wrap it in the pastry and bake it and top it with a little bit more of the farmer's cheese. And what it tastes like is a really good twice-baked potato.
So you're right. Generally, knishes are just bland, and you have to put a lot of stuff on them to get any flavor out of them.
You can get ours loaded, too, with additional sauerkraut, hot corned beef, and melted cheese.
Mm. It was the smoked salmon tartare. And then chopped liver and onions. And John, you did a class at Ramekins a while back, and you included classic Jewish chopped chicken liver on your menu.
I did, with Gribness.
With Gribness.
Yeah, and which is the secret to it.
It is.
Because at this class, people were saying, I don't want to try that chopped chicken. You know, obviously non-Jews who were in the class. And when they tried it, they said, this is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life. And I think it was because of the Gribness, which is the roasted chicken skin that gives it that wonderful crunch and flavor. And of course, it was made with chicken fat also.
Schmaltz.
Yeah, schmaltz.
Yes. And it's a very simple dish, but that's the kicker. Yeah, crispy chicken skin.
Soups, of course, matzo ball, creamy smoked fish. Ooh, soup. That's
wonderful. So talk about, you have a section on caviar.
Yes.
There. What are the caviars that you serve?
Well, surprising, you know, all the delis that we went to in New York and in Brooklyn, they all feature caviar. Mm-hmm. And at the deli cases to go, and I just thought, well, that's just great. You know, why does that have to be such a holiday-ish kind of food staple? So we are partnering with Calvisius, which is an Italian caviar. It's 100% sustainable. They don't sell the caviar until the fish itself is sold as well. Mm. So there's zero waste.
And what kind of a fish?
Sturgeon.
Okay.
Yes. And we'll have probably a couple of levels, the mid-range levels. But our goal is to sell more caviar in Sonoma County than anybody, which probably won't be that hard
as
it stands right now. But we'll have gift boxes to sell during the holidays. I know caviar. Mm-hmm. It's a fun thing to do with a couple of shots of vodka.
And we mentioned the soups, matzo balls, and creamy smoked fish and chowder. And I'm so glad you realized that you can't have a Jewish delicatessen unless you have Chinese chicken salad.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you.
On the menu.
Right.
That's true. And thank you for putting that on there. So that caught my eye. You're going to have daily plates. I love the special of the day, the daily platters.
This is Boobies food.
So Monday, Grandma's brisket, veal schnitzel, stuffed cabbage. Bubbies. Thank you for doing stuffed cabbage. I make a pretty mean meat roll and cabbage. So did my aunts and my mom. It's a wonderful dish you don't see very often. Lamb kebabs, fish and chips, roasted sirloin. What's the JW chicken special on Sunday?
Whether that stays on the menu. The roast chicken will, but it'll be in the style of Jonathan Waxman.
And he knows how to make chicken.
He does. Very, very. I remember in 1988 going to New York City to Jams. We drove from Washington, D.C. With my general manager just to eat his chicken and french fries. And then we drove back.
And then we have breakfast. We have the deli hash, the matzah chilaquiles. That's wild.
Matzah bray.
Yeah. And then Terry.
Instead of corn chips.
Correct.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
So Terry, you're credited with Terry's griddled pastrami.
Well, it's just my thing for breakfast. I love pastrami as the breakfast meat instead of your traditional bacon or sausage. So, you know, poached eggs with the griddled pastrami and avocado in pumpernickel bread is my favorite.
Wow.
A lot of Jewish food starts with K. We've talked about knish and kvetch. The knish is not good. But you also have a chicken kreplach.
Yes.
And that's not an easy one to make either. That's really delicious. Well, so that's under dumplings.
Under the soup, we have the big piece of chicken, which is, you know, we have the...
Oh, with kreplach.
Yeah, so that'll be a giant bowl of matzo ball soup that you'll get a few of the kreplach in there.
It's kind of like...
But with ramen noodles also in there.
So you know, we gotta mix things up, you know?
Yeah, right. It's a meal.
Yeah.
It's a meal.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back with the Starks. It's opening in a couple of weeks. Put it on your calendar, the Grossman's Noshery and Bar. And we do have a lot more material to cover. If you want to have a word with the Starks and take them to task for not having your favorite item on the menu, go ahead and do it now and just get it out of your system.
Well, thanks, Chef
John Ash and Steve Gardner in the KSRO kitchen.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
Cannabis is legal in California and has become the most rigorously tested agricultural product on the planet. Can I Help You? A cannabis talk show is brought to you by Mercy Wellness, a leading local cannabis retailer. Joe Sullivan is the leading cannabis expert at Mercy Wellness.
It's taken me years to learn how to find the best products for Mercy customers. I'm dedicated to them and getting only the best I can find. Many of the products I like and that I buy for Mercy customers are created by people who had a powerful need themselves. Maybe a family member or friend had cancer or another illness, and they were compelled to help them, so they develop a product to help. I constantly ask, what do our customers want? And then I go and find the best products on the market.
Tune in to Mercy's Can I Help You every other Friday from noon to 12:30 on KSRO. And hear stories from the cannabis frontier.
Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself.
Hey, Sonoma County. Thank you for making Creams Towing the number one rated heavy-duty towing company in Sonoma County. Creams Heavy Duty Towing has the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty rigs in Sonoma County and have been around since the 70s, so they're doing something right. Creams Heavy Duty Towing is on the road 24/7. Got a big rig stuck or need a four-wheel drive tow truck? Creams has the knowledge and experience to tow any and all large trucks. Their goal is to get you back on the road and home safe in the shortest amount of time. Need an RV towed? You guessed it. Creams Heavy Duty Towing can do that too. Their Class A drivers are fully insured and certified in heavy duty towing. Don't scream. Call Creams. 707-588-1250. Creams Heavy Duty Towing. 588-1250.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's fun to shop healthy. Your food is fresh and provided by local farmers and ranchers. These farmers offer the freshest local produce and select beef, pork, lamb, seafood, and freshly made sausages. A variety of cheese, eggs, and dairy, all at the market. In March, the farmers bring fresh salad mix. Enjoy the Beet Generation's fresh produce and handmade pasta made from her produce. Shop the market's creative local artisans and sample fresh-made pastries and bread that are still warm. Select one of Dominique's beautiful cherry pies. Enjoy breakfast or lunch from our variety of prepared foods. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, winner of the Bohemian's Best of Award, is open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Have some morning showers, but should be a partly cloudy afternoon today. High of 56, 51 along the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 35, 38 on the shores. Tomorrow, cloudy, but no rain expected. High of 59, 54 in Bodega Bay. Cloudy for Monday morning, then an afternoon sun of high of 66. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5. KSRO.
Well, if you're not hungry by now, you're not listening. It is the KSRO Good Food Hour. Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, in the kitchen, joined by the Starks, Mark and Terry, proud owner chefs of the Grossman's Nostery and Bar, which is going to open in just a few weeks in Old Railroad Square, downtown Santa Rosa, at the site of the Hotel La Rose restaurant. Well, the hotel, which has been vacant, the restaurant, for about 4 or 5 years. If you have a question for the Starks, you want to wish them well or ask some questions about the menu, call us. We can take a few calls at 636-1350. Welcome to the show, Kathy. What's your question for the Starks?
Hi, I heard you mention smoked whitefish. I used to get it all over northern Michigan, and I don't think I've ever seen it out here. Where do you get yours from?
It's from the lakes. Well, we use the same fish company we've been using out of San Francisco, and we started a few months ago for them to hunt down some true whitefish for us. A lot of the... Even at the Bird in the Bottle, our smoked fish salad is Alaskan black cod. But this is true white fish that we'll be getting in fresh and smoking whole.
And you're going to serve it in your chowder in the soup, is that correct?
Pieces in the chowder, but there'll also be a white fish salad. Very traditional, creamy white fish salad. You can spread it on your bagel, spread it on anything.
So does that help, Kathy?
Oh, yum. I can't wait to come in for it to open up.
Okay.
They're probably from the Great Lakes?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That would be up in upper Michigan Peninsula, that area.
Yeah. I used to go back there every summer. Okay. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
She was so nostalgic. That was great. Right. You know, well, you could see the picture in her eyes.
That's part of the appeal of people who have a generational connection with this style of food.
So I got a question for you. So sides and sauces, red or green shug? What's that?
It is Israeli hot sauces, fresh. So the green is somewhat similar to a chimichurri, but with a lot more green chili in it. And then the shug is their version of a harissa.
Ah, okay.
a little bit more cumin than normal.
So as I was walking,
I'm sorry, Steve.
No, finish.
This is my show. the amba is my favorite sauce.
And what is that?
You should put it on everything. It is a pickled mango sauce.
Hmm.
It's a bright yellow. It's got a hint of curry in it, and it has this just this kind of a fermented, spicy, exotic flavor to it.
And it's Jewish.
It's
maybe. Or it's Middle Eastern.
The it might Jewish be cuisine, you see it used in, yeah. Yes. It's if you go to a falafel joint or a shawarma
it's Middle
joint,
Eastern.
Yeah, they'll have all those sauces.
Here's another photo I snapped when I was walking around the Starks. A Taylor soft serve machine. And I thought, are you serving soft serve?
We sure are.
We are doing frozen labneh, which is the Jewish
yogurt,
thick
cheese.
Yogurt. Cream cheese, whatever you want to call it. So it's a version of it's a little more exotic style of frozen yogurt.
You know where I first saw a recipe for labneh was a few years ago. David Leibowitz, you know David Leibowitz, mm-hmm, the great pastry chef, in his book Scoops, he published a recipe for labneh. But I haven't seen restaurants doing that in the soft serve machines.
No. I know of. I think there's one. One chef in San Francisco that is doing or was doing it.
You have toppings, optional toppings.
It's what's my English is not going to be very good here. It's more tart than regular soft serve ice cream, which tends to be a little sweet.
Tartier.
That's another good word.
And what are the toppings we can choose?
Honey, rose water, pistachio,
caramel,
pomegranate, chocolate. Chocolate sesame, hava, is that how you say it? Hava? Chopped hava?
Yeah, halva.
Mm-hmm. There's actually a woman in
Petaluma
or Pengrove that's making hava. And I saw it at the farmer's market, and I have not been able to find her. If she's out there, please
call.
Contact us. I'd love to put that stuff on the retail shelf.
Beautiful. If you want to talk to the Starks, we can squeeze in a few questions. Sherry, thanks for giving us a call on the KSRO Good Food Hour. Welcome. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
It's your turn to talk.
Okay. Well, I want you to know that I moved here in 1970 from an area that had lots of delis and Jewish food. And for 50 years, I've been saying every year, if we only had a Jewish deli, my life would be complete. If we only had a Jewish deli, and I want to thank you so much for all your restaurants, but this one is the topping on the bagel for us.
Oh, well, better late than never.
Thank you for the call.
This is fantastic, and that's what I want to say.
Thank you, Sherry, for calling.
Love it.
You're very sweet. Welcome.
Thank you.
Bring it back memories.
Another photo I snapped, and I had no idea what this means, but maybe you can explain. There's a picture of a monkey, like a child's toy monkey on a trapeze in the window.
That's Stanley Grossman.
Yeah.
What's the story of where do you got this stuffed toy monkey? And
well, you know, he's actually made out of wood, Steve.
Oh, he's a wooden monkey.
I don't know. I picked this wallpaper for the decor in there, and it's supposed to be kind of like a hip grandma's wallpaper, and it has monkeys in it.
Oh.
And then, and I love it. And then I found this monkey in Portland and decided to hang it in that window because I didn't know what else to put in that window. And so monkeys are kind of going with the theme down there, but then right across the street in the little Depot Park, there's an amazing tree, and we didn't know it, but once I started going in the direction of monkeys, Nick, who actually works with us, said, well, you know, the tree across the street is a monkey puzzle tree, and it's enormous. It's an amazing tree. So it's just kind of a coincidence, but that's the reason of the monkeys.
All right.
And then I received an email from a woman that grew up here in Santa Rosa.
When did you get this?
I got this on the 4th, March 4th.
Oh.
And when she was a kid, her mom ran the bar that was in the Hotel La Rose, and it was called the Hogan's Alley. She says she's in her mid-50s.
Do you remember that, John? Hogan's Alley?
I don't think it was here in the 70s when we moved here. I'm sure there's listeners out there that used to drink there.
And she said that while her mom was running the bar, the kids had a room, a designated room on the second floor, and could look out onto the receiving dock on the east side of the hotel. And that at the time, there would be hobos that would hop the train and hang around for a day or two and then take off. But there was one hobo that had a pet monkey with him. And they were always, as kids, they were always so excited to see this hobo come back with his pet monkey.
This is one of the best stories we've ever had on the show.
Mm. And she said, she ended that by saying, thank you for bringing the monkey back. Mm. Isn't it?
I know, it's kind of crazy, you know.
You've got to post that letter somewhere near the monkey in the restaurant.
I know, I think I will, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, can we talk about a little dessert? A little dessert idea?
Sure.
Yeah, what are you going to have on the dessert trays?
Well, the big thing is the soft serve.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to augment that with things that we're filling the deli cases with. So, a couple of different types of babka.
Mm. Cinnamon and chocolate, different kinds of
cinnamon and chocolate. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Maybe then, even one with a little.
Then we'll have, you know, strudel.
Giant fruit hamantaschen.
So
what is that?
Well, it's a big cookie. Yeah. Okay. So the hamantaschen, you know, it mimics the
three-cornered hat. Yes.
And it's usually filled with apricot jam or prunes or poppy seed filling. And we're going to make them a little bit larger and use those fillings, but maybe even top with seasonal fruit baked into it. So a cross between a hamantaschen and like a galette or something like that. Just so if you want to put a scoop of ice cream on it and eat it there.
Nice. I see challah bread pudding.
Yes.
Are you going to do this? Any sandwiches with challah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Our egg salad.
Egg salad for sure.
Mm. Maybe the tuna salad.
Tuna salad.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a warm chocolate babka we mentioned with cheesecake blintz. How does that work?
Just a richer cheesecake filling.
And the cinnamon babka toast. Caramel apple knish. Oh, that's a nice idea.
You remember, you take a whole apple, you core it, wrap it in the dough.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe shove a cinnamon stick and bake the whole thing. What the hell?
And then another walnut schnecken.
Okay, so do you know what a schnecken is?
Yeah.
So schnecken means snail.
Snail, yes.
And so basically it's the Middle Eastern Jewish version of a cinnamon bun, but with a lot of nut sticky toffee on top. So I just imagine people 7:30 in the morning, I'll take a large coffee and a schnecken to go. I think that'll be great.
It'll be you.
Great way to start the day.
I'll be in the office.
And by the way, I was thrilled to see that you got the Weinberger patty melt.
So Matt Weinberger is our chef. He was the chef at the old wine bar.
The original wine bar.
The original one. The original and the relocated one. Mm-hmm. And we had been bouncing this idea back and forth for several years, always knowing that Matt was going to be the guy to run it. We needed some authenticity and somebody to be in charge of the Jewish calendar.
Yes.
Make sure we don't miss any holidays.
So this is
Matt's so you riff. Couldn't have a chef that had an Anglo
Smith?
Name.
Yeah. Mark Stark? No. Absolutely not. So the other dessert that I brought for you guys here is the black and white. So that's right there with the knish conversation. What's so special about it? We had a lot of black and whites in Brooklyn.
It's a cookie,
New York.
By the way.
It's a cookie cake with an icing on top that tastes like I should have got something else. And so we came back and we're all like, okay, we made the originals and okay, that tastes exactly like what we had.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we make it taste better? So our baker, Cassandra, up the citrus in the batter and landed on frosting it with cream cheese. One half white cream cheese, one half chocolate cream cheese. And in the dessert section, we're going to actually make an ice cream sandwiches out of two of them.
Oh my goodness.
With the frozen yogurt. So when you eat this thing, it's going to feel like it's your birthday.
Yeah, it tastes like a birthday cake.
It tastes like a birthday cake.
Yeah, and that you're going to have to take a week at a spa.
Well, there's Matt Weinberger has a word for after you have a big meal, you sit back and you. I don't remember the Yiddish word for it, but
It's something like digestible.
There's a word for loosen your belt.
Okay. And with that, we have to bid you adieu. It's the Grossman's Nursery and Bar, Mark and Terry Stark. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
I know
us.
You've been working nonstop for years on this concept, and it's opening in a couple of weeks, the 17th or the 19th of March,
yep.
In Old Railroad Square at the Old St. Rose Hotel. Ground floor restaurant, and it's really going to change the
landscape. Do you have outside dining?
We will.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barbas, and to
We're still developing that. Hopefully, we'll have that ready up and going by May.
Okay. Well, congratulations. We're really excited for you.
Thanks
for having us, guys.
Chef John Ash, the theme continues next week. Believe it or not, we will be welcoming the wonderful Evan Bloom to this radio show. Evan Bloom, owner of Wise Sons Delicatessens in San Francisco. He has a new cookbook. It came out this weekend. It's called Eat Something, a Wise Sons cookbook for Jews who like food and food lovers who like Jews.
That's a great title.
It's a great title. And he'll be coming in with some pastrami next Saturday. So this is the month where we look at Jewish delicatessens.
Tell Evan I'm a big fan of the pastrami fries. Mm.
I will tell him next Saturday. Thanks again, Chef John Ash. We'll see you next Saturday.
See you next week.
Stick around. It's At the Table with Clark Wolf following these messages.